You're listening to Morning Edition on 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. The next big immigration debate could center around visas that allow tech companies to hire foreign workers. H-1B visas are the subject of three different pieces of legislation introduced in Congress and could be addressed in an executive order the Trump administration is preparing. But as WBUR's Asma Khalid reports for our Bostonomics team, the true impact of those visas differs depending on where you live.
Shuaib Mogul got addicted to computers when he was a kid back in India.
I always liked the idea of, you know, developing games. I like developing websites.
So a few years ago, he came to Boston to study computer science at Northeastern. And when he graduated, he was in demand.
At a point in a week, I was giving like 20 interviews.
20 interviews. Within 2 weeks, Mogul had three job offers. He now works as a software engineer for a company in Kendall Square and walks around wearing those giant noise-canceling headphones, making around $150,000 a year. Mogul says local tech firms are struggling to find talent, and so they hire foreigners like him and try to get them an H-1B visa, which can be pricey.
They have to pay my lawyer fees, they have to pay my H-1 transfer fees, so all those fees. I mean, if I was running a business, I wouldn't hire myself in theory.
Mogul says this isn't about immigration. It's about the job market. There just aren't enough American engineers and computer programmers. He told me he can easily think of over 100 friends on H-1B visas hired by local companies.
Companies do not do that because they like paying that much more. It's just because of the scarcity of developers that we have here.
There's always been a shortage in the full history of the company's existence. It's always been hard to find talented programmers.
That's Jack Little, the co-founder and president of MathWorks, a software company in Natick. Full disclosure, MathWorks is a WBUR underwriter.
We use the H-1B visas mostly for hiring out of the universities. We do a lot of hiring at the master's and the PhD levels.
In Massachusetts, MathWorks is near the top of the list when it comes to companies pursuing H-1B workers. Last year, there were more than 250,000 H-1B visa applications in the country. But each year, only a finite number are issued.
We've had to send people back to their countries because they didn't get picked.
The selection system, after all, is a lottery.
It's just crazy to have to send people back. Somebody that's worked at your company for several years, they're trained, they're up to speed, they're delivering things, and they can't get permission to stay in the U.S.
But nationally, some of the biggest beneficiaries are not high-tech firms. They're outsourcing companies. They essentially hire lower-skilled IT workers and import them from India to do the jobs Americans are already doing, but purportedly for a cheaper price. And so this brings us to the crux of the debate. Can there really be a tech shortage and a situation where Americans are losing jobs to H-1B workers? Can both of these things be true at the same time? Well, around Boston, that tech shortage seems to be true, but maybe it's not true everywhere.
I had never heard of the H-1B program.
I met Craig D'Angelo at his home in New Britain, Connecticut, about a two-hour drive from Boston. D'Angelo's a straight talker, a slim guy with a full head of white hair.
I worked for Northeast Utilities for 11 years, 11 great years.
Northeast Utilities is now Eversource, the electric and gas company. D'Angelo used to bring in $130,000 a year working in the IT department. But in June 2014, he was let go, replaced by someone from Infosys. That's one of those Indian outsourcing companies. Infosys declined to comment for this story, but D'Angelo says he had to train his replacement or risk losing his severance.
The individual that came over from India, he started what they called shadowing. So he would shadow me for the day, and I would show him what I was doing. He sat next to me the whole time. He had a chair in my cubicle.
In total, nearly 200 IT workers lost their jobs at the company. D'Angelo found a new IT gig, making less money, but he considers himself lucky. He sits near the fireplace in his living room and sips a glass of wine. As he tells me, some of his friends weren't so lucky.
One of my co-workers is working at a supermarket. Another one of my co-workers was working as a part-time secretary at a church, 3 days a week, making a little more than minimum wage.
D'Angelo says there's no sign of a tech shortage here in Connecticut.
If you rounded up all of the people that were let go, you said, okay, how many of you are out of work now? I would say maybe 65% would raise their hands.
To this day.
And that's 3 years later.
D'Angelo says some companies just use the visa program as a way to import cheap labor, and he's not sure how to fix that. Maybe temporarily freeze all the visas, or maybe force those outsourcing companies to pay their workers more. One of the ideas floating around Congress would raise the minimum wage for H-1B workers to $100,000. Right now, the minimum salary is $60,000.
If the H-1B companies, like an Infosys and a Tata, see that they have to pay the going salary, the market rate salary, I think it may help the American worker. I'm hoping it will. It's too late for me.
D'Angelo voted for Donald Trump, and he's optimistic the Trump administration is going to be able to tackle this. But back in Massachusetts, it's not optimism. It's apprehension. Jack Little with MathWorks agrees. There are some bad apples that are abusing the system.
It's a source of frustration because it's being used a way that's opposite to how the high-tech companies want to use it.
In fact, he says these outsourcing companies are probably why some of his own employees didn't win the visa lottery. Little wants reform, too. And so I ask him, what should the government do?
It's very difficult. I've thought about that before. And the salary thing is actually a pretty good idea. I think raising the salary would actually solve the problem for us because we would be above that salary for the offers we're making.
Though Little's not sure that $100,000 minimum is economically feasible for a tech company in, say, Ohio. Still, what's interesting is that some Boston tech CEOs and laid-off IT workers actually want the same thing. They both see a flawed system and want a program where outsourcing companies can't eat up all the visas. But back in Kendall Square, for Shoaib Mogul, that worker stuck in the middle of this debate, he just feels like a pawn in an immigration chess game where he has no control.
Before coming here, if I knew that, you know, it was a political issue, I wouldn't have dared to, like, you know, apply for it. I mean, it's my career and, you know, I don't want it to be based on, like, fluctuations in a country that I do not belong to.
And ultimately, Mogul says, if he doesn't feel welcome, he'll go back to India. He's not worried about a job because he says an executive order would restrict people coming in, but it won't restrict work from going out. Mogul says companies will find workers overseas if they have to. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Asma Khalid.
Special funding for Bostonomics provided by Newmark Grubb Knight Frank's downtown team, delivering professional real estate insight and advisory services to Boston's changing market, ngkf.com.